Well, I want to go fishing, and I think there are some people in the studio who are quite keen on going fishing.
Yeah.
He's been entertaining with us with stories this afternoon about fishing in the far north.
I have.
So fishing is one of the most widely practiced sports in the country, covering all ages, ethnicity, all waterways, and so I guess it was inevitable that somebody one day would write a book on the history of dangling a line. Historian Anna Clark has written the story of fishing in Australia, taking us from the first account of Indigenous fishing in this country to simply wetting a line off a pier or trout stream. She spoke to Graeme Kemlow.
You're obviously a pretty keen fisherman yourself by my reading of this book.
Yes, I am crazy about fishing. So when the National Library of Australia asked if anybody was a fisher who was also a historian, I put my hand up very quickly.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm a bit of a fisher person as well. So where did you grow up fishing?
I grew up mostly in Sydney, but my grandparents have a property down on the south coast of New South Wales, and I used to go there a lot as a kid and grew up fishing with my uncles and my granddad and my dad down that way, rock fishing and so on. And it's just always been a huge part of my life and continues to be. Now I have the lovely feeling of taking my own kids down to those spots and showing them and seeing them discover, the being out in nature and how beautiful it can be, and also the sort of thrill of catching fish too.
Yeah, I think kids particularly when they're very young love the thought that they could pull something in. Is it primal, where it derives from?
That's a really, really good question. I was thinking about that a lot as I was writing the book, because I was trying to think back, what's the difference between the thrill of catching a snapper now from a tinny with, fish finders and braided lines and boat trailers and all of the technology that we have available. Is it still the same feeling as it must have been for perhaps, Indigenous fishers 10,000 years ago, pulling up a snapper out of Port Phillip Bay or a brim from Sydney Harbour? Did they have the same feeling? And I think they probably did. And I think that's that primal excitement and thrill of pulling out a fish is enduring, and probably why people still, can't get enough of getting out there and going fishing.
I guess in the early days, it was probably something to do with being able to fill their bellies on a day that might otherwise have been a bit lean.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the excitement of, getting dinner and so on. Now it's the excitement of being able to sport fish, where so much fishing is catch and release and lots of fish like Australian salmon and so on, people tend to throw back. But that excitement is certainly still there. And, even as a sport, I think that thrill of hooking onto something can be intensely gratifying, and the expletives that come out when you lose a fish has certainly also probably been going on for many thousands of years too.
Yeah. Now, you do take us back in this book to the period when the first recorded efforts of fishing by Australia's Indigenous community thousands of years ago. Where did those sorts of records come from, Anna?
Mostly I was finding those records from the first Europeans who arrived in Australia. It's very difficult to find sources of pre-contact Indigenous societies. There are certainly archaeological records that we can look at, such as middens and some of the tools and equipment, the material culture of Aboriginal life, as well as some of the art that's been recorded and so on. But in terms of actual written accounts describing the techniques that are used and describing, for example, Aboriginal women on tiny little canoes with hand lines singing down to the fish below, or describing Aboriginal men lying across canoes with their heads fully submerged, spearing fish, and describing the night fishers as they stood up at night with flaming torches attracting the fish to the side of their canoes around Australia. For those accounts, I was relying on some of the early colonial writers in their journals and explorers' journals and so on. Very vivid and often very beautiful pictures that they were describing as they went around Australia for the first time.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. I've been a bit lucky to go fishing up in the northwest of Western Australia for the best part of the last 30 years, I suppose. And we're a bit lucky also in having an island to fish from out sort of into the Indian Ocean a little bit. It was an island, the Dampier, named Rosemary Island. There are places on that island where there are rock, I don't know if they use the word carvings, but the fish that are depicted in these carvings are the same fish we catch today, which is the Spanish mackerel. It's got that clear Z-shaped stripe down the side that you could not possibly mistake. Have you used some of those types of things?
Yeah, that's right. I have used some of those and some of the, you know, cave art and some of the engravings, rock engravings around Sydney, for example, on those incredible sandstone outcrops where there are lots of engravings of whales and sharks and fish and so on. There are some incredible Aboriginal archives, for want of a better word, revealing the sorts of fish that Aboriginal people right around Australia caught. And I've also fished up that way up the West Australian coast. I worked on a Spanish mackerel boat for a few months, handlining for Spanish mackerel. And it's an extraordinary place, these kind of incredible layers of history that reach back in time. It almost feels, you know, timeless. But there you are on the island that you mentioned, Rosemary Island, and you're doing the same thing. It's an extraordinary feeling. And so much of travelling around Australia, I think, evokes that feeling of being in a place that has been a special place for many thousands of years.
Now, I notice particularly with, you know, my children, and they've got children of their own now, not quite old enough to pull in a big one, but I notice there's been a bit of a change of attitude towards taking fish. There's a lot of kissing them and putting them back, as a famous commentator down here once extolled people to do. Did you notice that in your studies, where these massive hauls of fish are feature less today because people are not interested in raping and pillaging the sea?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's been a real generational shift, I guess, as people have become increasingly aware of the fragility of that apparent bounty in Australia's waters. You know, my family's no different. There were a couple of generations ago, people just took as much as they could and then, you know, told amazing stories about it. And I think that really a case around the country in recent years. There's been a moderation, mostly because we've had to. It's because it's clear that you can't just keep fishing and fishing and fishing. There are plenty of fish in the sea, but one day there might not be. And I guess that's been that shift towards sport fishing, so people can still catch loads of fish if they want to, but they release release back into the oceans what they're not going to eat. It's very rare for many fishers, I think, to be taking home more than what they can feed their family on for that evening. And that's been a really important cultural change in Australian fishing in recent years, without a doubt.
Yeah, and it's obviously a good thing. Do you know what our long-term future is in terms of fish stock, Anna? Did you research any of that material?
I did research a bit of it. For the most part, Australian fisheries are in sustainable shape, and they are sort of heralded as one of the success stories of fisheries management. Partly that management had to come because Australia was overfished for so many years. But there's still a lot we don't know about certain fish stocks and populations in Australia. And while Australian fisheries are, for the most part, sustainable, there are still lots of questions and tensions between, say, access to fishing areas by wreck fishers or commercial fishers, whether there should be total lockout zones for, you know, conservation management. And then there's also the issue of our place in the world. 70% of Australian seafood is imported. So while we might have very sustainable fisheries that's been judged by the federal government, you know, there are really huge questions that need to be asked about the world.
That was Anna Clark, author of The Catch, the story of fishing in Australia, published by the National Library of Australia.